Chapter 13, Mormonism, a Better Fraud. Whereas Mohammedanism is the fastest growing major religion in the world, and also the fastest growing numerically, the Mormon religion, or better termed as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is percentage-wise the fastest growing religion in America today. While not large compared to the major religions, it is claimed that the Mormon Church now has a membership of over 3 million adherents. Whereas it is in my opinion that the Mormon religion is a better religion for the white people than Christianity, nevertheless, I am convinced that, like Christianity, it is a stupendous fraud and an unmitigated hoax. There are, nevertheless, several important things that we can learn from Mormonism, and this is why we are considering it along with the three other major religions. It gives us an answer to the question, namely, is it at all possible to start and propagate a new religion in modern times? The Mormon religion has answered that with an emphatic yes, since it was begun less than a century and a half ago. The other important lesson that we can learn from this relatively new religion is just what makes a religion spread and what techniques we can use to spread and propagate our own new religion, creativity. The Mormon religion was started by a native-born American by the name of Joseph Smith, born in Vermont, 1805. At the age of 10, he moved with his parents to the town of Palmyra, New York. In his 15th year, they moved to a neighboring place called Manchester, and it was here that, as Joseph tells it, he began to see some strange visions, and he began to have contact with angels sent to him by God. By the time he was 18, he had received several more of these visions and visitations from the great beyond. In these trances, he was told that he would be given some golden plates. He was also to be given a set of transparent rock spectacles called Urim and Thummim to help him translate the strange ancient Aramaic, Hebrew, and Egyptian languages in which the plates were supposedly written. The angel Moroni revealed to Joseph Smith that he had buried the sacred records in the year 420 AD in the hill of Cumorah. It was supposedly an abridgment made by Mormon, father of Moroni, from the records of his forefathers, and hence we get the name Mormon. According to Smith, he then set about translating these plates, dictating them from behind a screen to some of his associates. This may all seem exceedingly strange, and it most certainly is. It reminds me of the alleged story attributed to General Grant when a stranger approached him, shook his hand and said, "The Marquis of Queensberry, I believe." To which Grant was supposed to have replied, "Anybody that would believe that would be stupid enough to believe anything." In any case, translated into English, the Book of Mormon, which this new Bible of the Mormon faith was called, was published in the year 1830, the same year Joseph Smith organized the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The original plates were then again taken in charge by the angel Moroni and carried away so that no one ever saw them again. Very convenient. Smith and his followers maintain that in 1829 Smith was ordained by John the Baptist and made an apostle. On April the 6th, 1830, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was established in Fayette, New York, with Joseph Smith as its first prophet. Members were ordained to go out and preach, and the new belief spread rapidly. A temple was built in Kirkland, Ohio. Missouri became a center. Nauvoo, Illinois, was the headquarters for another group. They met popular disfavor and persecution in many quarters, largely because plurality of wives was permitted. Continued persecution drove them further and further westward. Finally, Smith was assassinated in Carthage, Illinois jail on June the 27th, 1844, and the presidency descended to an aggressive follower by the name of Brigham Young. To avoid further persecution, the Mormons agreed to leave Illinois, but by some miscarriage of justice, after a part of the Nauvoo settlement had already started to move, the balance was attacked and annihilated. In the 1,500-mile trek to the basin of the Great Salt Lake, the Mormons lost another 1,000 of their followers. Here, at Salt Lake, they dwelt for a time in peace and established the Great Temple of Salt Lake City. From here on out, the Mormon religion spread throughout the world. Just what does the Mormon religion say? The Book of Mormon is most uninteresting reading. In fact, it is so dull and tedious that it is almost impossible, at least for me, to read through all of it. Certainly, I find very little in it that is inspirational. Although it is supposed to be a 19th century translation of something that the Mormons claim was written by several people over a period of about 1,000 years, from 600 BC to approximately 400 AD, the language is strictly in the 15th century Elizabethan style. Since the Egyptians, Hebrews, and Aramaics didn't speak 15th century Elizabethan English, and since the 19th century Americans didn't talk that way either, one wonders why Smith found that such a style of wording, using the biblical yeas and nays and these and thous, was a direct translation of something a few 1,000 years old. Undoubtedly, Smith felt that by imitating the biblical language, King James Version, he would be able to give it a more mystical and religious air and thereby help make his newly concocted writings more plausible and acceptable. The Book of Mormon further follows the format of the Christian and Jewish Bible. The story it tells, however, is altogether different. The Book of Mormon allegedly gives an account of a group of people of the tribe of Manasseh who left the city of Jerusalem in the year 600 BC and some 8 or 10 years later sailed a ship across the Indian and Pacific Oceans to the Western Hemisphere. It then goes on in an exceedingly boring and tedious narration of the trials and tribulations, successes and failures of the descendants of these people, until finally the remnant of them are exterminated by their enemies in the year 421 AD on a hill in what is now New York State, where Joseph Smith claimed to have found their records some 1,400 years later. In this strange history, it also tells of an account of these people in the year 122 BC, discovering buried records also on metal plates, which told the story of an earlier migration of another group of people of the race of Adam from Asia to the Western Hemisphere in the year 2000 BC. These people supposedly resided in this part of the world until their descendants were wiped out in a civil war in the year 590 BC. So here we have a long-winded history of two different groups of people who were apparently supposed to be descendants of Adam and who migrated to the Western world in ancient times, one group living here from 2000 BC to 590 BC and the other group from 590 BC to 421 AD. Just why it was necessary to dream up such a long, dreary story of these people in order to found a new religion is hard to understand. Although the story is completely different, and the case of characters is also completely different from that of the Old Testament, we find the Mormon Church declaring in point 8 of their 13 articles of faith as follows. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God in so far as it is correctly translated. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. This is like saying, I believe in the Bible in so far as it is correct, and I also believe in the theory of evolution, which is more correct. The two books, the Jewish Christian Bible and the Book of Mormon, are completely contradictory and different. For anybody to say that they believe in both is talking out of both sides of their mouth. Without going into further details about the Book of Mormon, it is my considered opinion that the stories written therein are the meanderings of a somewhat overstimulated and unbalanced mind, and do very little to shed light on or divulge information about anything. The fact that Joseph Smith gives a signed statement of testament by three witnesses, and then further got more witnesses to sign and say that they also saw these plates of gold with engravings on it, does not, to my mind, sound very convincing. It reminds me of the story we have in another chapter in this book, telling about the man who tried to pass off the $10,000 check, stating over and over again that it was genuine, that it was good, that he had so many witnesses to back him up. Nevertheless, it all came out of the same set of claims, and is not any more genuine than the rest of it. Be that as it may, this group of zealous fanatics did start a new religion, and in many ways it at least was better than Christianity. Whereas Mormonism, too, somehow partially polarizes around Jesus Christ and Moses and the Jews, strangely, it too has a watered-down version of the Sermon on the Mount. All I can therefore say of it is that it is a better fraud, but not much better. Nevertheless, it seems to me that the average Mormon today is probably more industrious, more law-abiding, and more responsible than the average American. Very few of them are living off public welfare, and they pretty well manage to take care of their own. Above all, they do not cater to the niggers, as do most Christian denominations, nor do they promote integration with the niggers. This is all to the credit of the Mormon people and also their religion, regardless of its fictitious foundation. The thing that is of particular interest to us about the Mormon religion, however, is the fact that it is the most rapidly expanding religion. It is the reason for this expansion that we want to particularly take note of. The reason is not hard to find. It is the same reason that accounts for the rapid expansion of Jehovah's Witnesses, another strange sect. Both Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are growing rapidly because they pursue an aggressive program of salesmanship, promotion, and propaganda, whereas usually, when Jehovah's Witnesses appear at the door, they seem to be rather apologetic and somewhat timid in their approach, handing you a copy of their watchtower. The Mormons, in contrast, appear at the same door, just bubbling over with confidence and enthusiasm. Usually, in their recruiting and proselytizing campaigns, the Mormons will send out two young men as a team. They will appear at your door, neatly dressed, smiling, polite, and enthusiastic, and ask if they could have a few minutes of your time to give you some very important information about their religion. Since they make an attractive appearance, are friendly and enthusiastic, most often they will be invited in. This, of course, is a very, very important step in the program. Once in, they can then take up not only a few minutes, but the next few hours of your time, if you are so inclined, and really give you a full-dress sales program of their product, the Mormon religion. Since the Christian religion is really a product of the ultimate utilization of propaganda at its best, by the use of words and psychology, converting people to the acceptance of fictitious and illusory ideas, we should never forget just how important the aggressive promotion of propaganda is in winning people over to your way of thinking. Propaganda, in itself, like government or the weather, is neither good nor bad. It depends on what kind of propaganda you are being subjected to. Propaganda can be tremendously enlightening, informative, and constructive, or propaganda can be tremendously destructive and suicidal in its effect. Nevertheless, the techniques of propaganda are always the same, whether its direction is for good or evil ends. The thing to remember is that propaganda is a tremendously powerful instrument with which to influence people. Since we have previously said that religion is necessary for the survival of a people, and that it is especially tremendously important for the salvation of the white people of today, and since we are now in the process of propagating and disseminating our own constructive religion for that very purpose, we should take very good note of the lessons that we can learn from the rise of the Mormon religion. These lessons are as follows. 1. It is most certainly possible to found and propagate a new religion amongst the white people of today, and we should be tremendously encouraged thereby. In fact, the people are desperately seeking a new creed that they can believe in, especially the younger generation. 2. The key to the successful dissemination and spreading of such a new religion is by word of mouth, by speaking, by propaganda, and employing the proper techniques of salesmanship. This latter is a whole subject unto itself, and I am going to expound further on this in another chapter. Let us remember that regarding propaganda, Adolf Hitler said, "Propaganda can make heaven look like hell, and hell look like heaven." Let us never forget that there is nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has arrived, and furthermore, that such an idea will only become powerful if it is skillfully and aggressively promoted by the best and most productive techniques of propaganda. The time for a new creed, a new idea for the white man is now here. That creed is creativity.